Happy Friday, Nashville. Chase and Big Joe here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Jay Kleiman in for Chase McCabe today. We're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Again, Jay Kleiman, Big Joe Dubin, Dr. Crane Nick Frazier back on the board.
What's up, man?
What's up? Glad to be in with you today.
We'll have fun. Chase is off more than Traylon Burks. Like, every time I turn around, Chase is off and gone. No, he deserves a vacation.
Hey, it's only a day at a time, just like Traylon Burks. We're always scared of whether he's going to come back, and then he's there the next day.
And then he's out for a week, and then on and on and on. Now, Chase on a much-deserved boys trip to see baseball in Pittsburgh. I mean, whatever.
Beautiful park, by the way. That's my favorite baseball stadium in the entire country, PNC Park.
Is it really?
Yeah. My dad's a Pirates fan, so we used to go up there every summer, and seeing the Roberto Clemente Bridge over center field and the Allegheny, like, it's an awesome experience.
Is your dad from Pittsburgh?
No. My dad and I are in the exact same boat, that we have the weirdest team selections of all time. My dad is a Pittsburgh Pirates, Chicago Blackhawks, San Francisco 49ers, Dallas Mavericks fan. Literally all four compass directions.
All right. Okay, Pittsburgh hasn't won a World Series since 79. Who is next? Chicago?
Chicago Blackhawks. So they had the three Stanley Cups
right
back in the 2010s.
That's right. Okay. And then Mavericks won.
Yep. In 2011.
That's right. And 2006.
Yes.
And the 49ers haven't won since 94.
Yes. They've gotten about as close as you can get.
Okay. I like this because he's not like everybody by default. Everybody's a Yankees fan.
Yep.
I know people who can't name a single Yankees player, but they're a Yankees fan because it's cool. Like, I'm a winner and you're not. That drives me crazy.
Yes. And they've always got the Yankees hats on. And it's like,
yeah.
Oh, who's your favorite Yankee? And it's probably Derek Jeter still.
Yeah. They'll say Derek Jeter. Oh, I love Babe Ruth. You know, something along those lines. But so who's your teams?
I grew up a Titans fan despite being from Washington, D.C., Northern Virginia.
Okay.
Detroit Tigers. I was a Washington Capitals fan, but I'm transitioning to be a Preds fan. And then Phoenix Suns. So I'm all over the map, too.
Why Phoenix?
That one was just random. I told my dad one day when I was like seven, I was like, I want to pick an NBA team. And he just brought up a list, and I looked at the logos and picked the Phoenix Suns.
Did they still have the gorilla?
Yes. Yep, they still have the gorilla.
He's got a name, right?
Yes, he does. What is his name?
He's the best, because when he would go down the court and jump on the trampoline and dunk, it was the best.
Maybe he doesn't have a name. He might just be
the gorilla.
The gorilla.
It's a fantastic mascot, though, man.
It's great. It's like it's like T-Rack for the Titans. Like, why? I guess a raccoon, is it the state animal or something like that? But
yeah, T-Rack. His name is Go the Gorilla.
Go
the Gorilla.
Go the Gorilla. Love it. T-Rack tried to burn a Saints quarterback in the 2000s, a preseason game. He set pyrotechnics on fire, and he set the pyrotechnics. He lit them, and they were too close, and a Saints quarterback, you know, I was at the game. What was his name? And T-Rex got in serious trouble for that.
I mean, it wasn't the actual T-Rex, but the little, like, blow-up T-Rex, that clip of him eating the cheerleader. Like, have you seen that with Ian Eagles on the call?
Yeah.
Or maybe it's
Kevin
Harlan. One of the two, but they're like, what did we just witness? that's an all-timer.
Well, one of my favorite things with the Titans, and they would do it, the cheerleaders dress up for Halloween. They'll dress up just different characters. And one cheerleader had a toupee one year, and it came off to the side. And I said in the press box, I said, who is she, Bud Adams? And it echoed down the press row, and everybody laughed till it got to the Titans PR, and they did not have fun with it. I'm like, come on, laugh.
It's a joke.
Because it was a toupee and went to the side. She looked like Bud Adams. So that was my thing right there. So that's it, man.
I love it. Should be a fun show today. At 9:30 coming up, we've got Mount Juliet High School football head coach Trey Perry, as it is opening day in high school football. We did have a couple of games last night as well, but full slate tonight. We'll also have Forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders at 10. Should be lots of fun. It is our first football weekend.
It is.
High school football and a couple college football games tomorrow.
I love it. Florida State and Georgia Tech.
Yes.
Go at 11. And then at midnight Eastern, it's Delaware State versus Hawaii. Is that right?
Yes.
I think that's correct.
And I didn't realize.
11 Central, yes.
I was with Teron Davenport filling in for Jared this week. Teron is a former Delaware State Hornet.
Oh, nice.
So I joked with him. I was like, what sickos are going to be up watching Delaware State Hawaii at 11:59? And he was like, well, I will be one of those sickos because I used to go to Delaware State.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, I'll watch it. I mean, I'm telling you what, late night football, of course, the Pac-12 is gone now. But some of those Mountain West games were fantastic.
And it's I having grown up on the East Coast, a lot of those games were a little too late. Like if they start at 10:30, 11, I'm not staying up till 2 a.m. Moving to Central Time, it's kind of nice where they're kicking off at 9 instead of 10.
Yeah.
And you can still stay up and watch some of those. I guess there's no more Pac-12 after dark, but those type of games.
No, when I was an AP Top 25 voter, I had to sit and watch the Utah and the San Jose State and the San Diego State games and all those just because it wasn't fair to go to bed and check the box score the next day. Oh, San Diego State won. They beat Utah State 19-3 when they'd have a Top 25 team. So I was up watching those games. That's where I fell in love with it. So I guess they're gone now, right? I mean, for the most part.
Yeah, I'm wondering what games are going to be the late night games now because ESPN's still going to fill that slot. Somebody's going to be playing after the primetime game. Let's see.
Well, the Mountain West games and the whatever conference Boise State's in and all that other stuff out there will do. We'll have those late games, which are great.
Let me see. What is it? Week one next week when we've got the full slate. So we've got a couple of late night games. That's on Thursday. Let's go to Saturday. 10 p.m. Washington and Weber State.
Nice.
That is on the Big Ten Network. Arizona State, Wyoming is at 9:30. And Arizona, New Mexico at 9:30 as well. So
Tomorrow night?
No.
Week one.
Week one. Okay. So 8 days away. Right. But, yeah, so we've got it is the Pac-12 team still playing in those, even though the Pac-12 is no more.
I just don't think they're going to put Penn State, USC at 10 o'clock. Eastern. I don't think they'll do that.
No, I don't think so. That game's part of that October 12th slate that is that's going to be fantastic with the Red River rivalries that week. Tennessee, Florida is that week. What's the other big one that day?
There was like six of them, right?
Yeah, October 12th. I've said it a few times. I have a wedding to go to that day, I think. So.
Chase and I talked about this. All right, people are like, stop scheduling your weddings in September and October. My daughter came to me and said, "Hey, Dad, I'm getting married November the 5th. You know what all dads say? Let's do this, honey.
Yep.
Not a single father out there. I'm not going to ruin my daughter. Like, can you do it in December when football? No. So I love the people like, stop scheduling the weddings. I'm going to tell my baby girl she can't get married on that day. Get out of here, man.
No, and I get it. It's like you can get married whenever you want to, but I think you can't get mad if there's people checking scores on a day like that. When you've got Ohio State, Oregon, and Ole Miss LSU, we missed those two that day as well.
Oh, absolutely. It's okay. Like,
it's okay. Right. It's okay to be the guy in the corner watching some of the games during the reception.
All right.
Not during the ceremony. But during the reception, if you want to check some scores, I think it's
fine. And I think, we had a TV set up in another room at the reception to go in and watch football. It was fun. And I'm telling you what, there was half as many women in there as there was men.
I love it.
It was 50-50 in there as well. All right, so here's our question of the day. Dr. Crane, you ready for this?
Stop talking to the handsome Nick Kizer. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All right, here's our sports question of the day, and I like this one with college football starting. What was the one stadium or arena that you walked into that absolutely took your breath away? The first time you walked in there, absolutely took your breath away. I will tell you mine. In September of 2000, I covered Tennessee at LSU. I'd never been to a night game at LSU. I'm telling you, that was a spiritual experience. That stadium, that crowd, that atmosphere literally took my breath away for about 5 seconds, where I was like, I got to start breathing. I'm going to die. So what's the stadium that took your breath away? You mentioned one earlier.
Yes, PNC Park in Pittsburgh is phenomenal, especially if you go like a summer evening game and you see the sun setting. It's really a cool place to go. In terms of just the aesthetics of the stadium, I went to a game at the new Atlanta Dome, Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Right.
That place looks like a spaceship when you walk in there.
But did it take your breath away?
It did. As I walked through the doors, because I'm so used to you know, Nissan Stadium, and I grew up outside D.C., so FedEx Field.
Right.
Like some of those just basic football stadiums.
Yeah.
Walking into Mercedes-Benz Stadium and seeing the concourse, and you can look down straight over top of the field, that it did take my breath away to see that.
Good. Dr. Crane, what do you got?
Well, I was going to say Death Valley LSU, but...
You can say it.
Well, I'll say two then, because you already mentioned
all
it.
Right.
You've already prefaced it. I'm going to go Wrigley Field. I know it's not football, but...
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. No, it's just any stadium or arena.
The history behind it, it just kind of blew me away. Like, wow, this was around like in 1950s and 60s and so forth. I'm like, this is kind of cool. You get to see the ivy. And it's just like nostalgia.
It was around the teens and the 20s.
Well, I'm just saying more into the early ages. Come on, Joe.
You go on and on and go back. I
well,
mean,
see,
that's just.
Joe, here's the thing. I'm a Cardinals fan. So, like, the 80s were a solid time for the Cardinals.
Yeah.
And it was a terrible time for the Cubs. And so I'm trying to recollect the good times when the Cardinals were good and the Cubs weren't, and so it's now
equal. That's okay, but you can honor a place that took your breath away. 615-737-1025. What's one stadium that took your breath away? What's the other one? Was it LSU you were going to say?
It was, yeah.
What did LSU do to you?
Well, the tailgating was awesome, and then when I walked in, my seats were the very top row of the stadium, and I could feel it swaying when everybody would yell. And
oh, that's awesome.
It was weird because you felt immersed into the whole environment, even though you're kind of like away from everybody. So it was just kind of cool.
All right. So, Jake, you call Vanderbilt women's basketball.
Yep.
Did y'all play at Duke?
We did not. That is one of the arenas I haven't been to. We played at Hinkle Fieldhouse last year, which was really cool.
You know,
you walk in there, the concourse is basically a museum, and then you get into the floor, and they've renovated it. So it's not completely like 1912 whenever it was first built, but
right.
You can feel the history in there when you walk in.
That'd be very cool.
That one was cool. Somebody on our text line says Bristol Motor Speedway for a NASCAR race.
Yeah.
That's another one for me. I went to the battle at Bristol.
Yeah, so did I.
Having grown up a Virginia Tech fan, we went there to see that game, and that was a really cool experience. Even though you could barely see the field from our seats,
right.
Like it was really cool.
Somebody asked, I was there too, covering for TV, and somebody said, well, "What would you think? What were your thoughts?" And I was like, "It was really hard to put because I couldn't. I was on the field." And the lights were structured so that you couldn't see beyond like the third row up.
Yeah.
So I couldn't see the crowd, but knowing there's 150,000 people there was, I couldn't describe it. It did no justice to say, oh, it was really cool. That was not fair for that.
It was awesome. And, you know, the Hokies went up 14-0 in that game. And apologies to all the Tennessee fans who were listening, but We all the Tennessee fans around us went silent. We were all happy, and then Josh Dobbs happened, and I think Tech lost that game by like 10 points or something
right.
like that. But
Kamara, Juwan Jennings,
yes, Jalen Hurd was on
Hurd.
That team.
It's a loaded team.
That
man.
Was a really good team. Tech ended up being pretty good that year. That was the first year post Frank Beamer. They went to the ACC championship and lost to Clemson. But yeah, that game they went up 14-0 and. Tech right. fans thought that Justin Fuente was the savior. Not so much.
Where's he now?
I believe he is an analyst at Indiana, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, Lord.
He has not gotten another head coaching job, but his buyout was big enough that he probably doesn't need to get a big coaching job.
Somebody else says to me, speaking of Indiana, walking in Assembly Hall at Indiana, as a basketball fan, took his breath away. He could almost hear Bobby Knight cussing.
That's a good one.
Well done, man.
That is a good one. 615-737-1025 if you want to chime in. Again, our question of the day, courtesy of Big Joe, is what is an arena or stadium that took your breath away the first time you walked in? We'd love to hear from you. Again, 615-737-1025. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue this discussion. We'll get to some of your answers on the text line as well. And we'll also get into some high school football, as again, at 9:30, we have Trey Perry, the head football coach at Mount Juliet High School, will join us, and then Chris Sanders coming up at 10. Jake Lyman in for Chase McCabe today. Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Jake Lyman in for Chase McCabe today. Happy Friday, Nashville. We're off and rolling. We've gotten to our question of the day. Big Joe wants to know, what is the stadium or arena that took your breath away the first time you walked into it? And we've gotten a lot of good answers on our text line.
And let's say it's not your favorite stadium.
Correct.
It's just a stadium that took your breath away.
Yes.
Like, I've never been to Dodger Stadium. But I think it'd be great. I've been to the Giant Stadium, whatever that's called now in San Francisco.
AT&T, I think.
Stunning. Stunning. It's not my favorite ballpark. It's stunning, but LSU took my breath away when I walked in there.
Yes. Let's see. Lenny on our text line has a few. He says Augusta National. That's one that I really want to get to at some point. I enter the lottery every year and never get it.
I've never been. I can't follow men around for 8 hours.
I've never been to a golf tournament before, which I think it's one of the, like, I've been to one NASCAR race, and I'm not a huge NASCAR guy, but it was an experience to go. I feel like it'd be an experience to go to just one golf tournament and kind of see what that would be like. Lenny also says Wembley Stadium and the Big House. That's another one, the Big House in Michigan. Just that many people one stadium.
Has Lenny been?
That's what it seems like.
You have to not want to be there. You have to have gone there and it taken your breath away. That's what you have to go.
That is true. And we have a few people saying Adelphia Coliseum right when it opened, which now Nissan Stadium.
I get that. I was there.
Which I guess right when it opened, being the first like giant stadium in Nashville, that's got to be.
Well, and then they beat the Bengals on an Al Del Greco field goal on the first game ever. I completely understand that. Yep.
There's a few who have gone north of the border. One texter says the old Maple Leafs Garden in Toronto. Gene from Spring Hill says the old Montreal Forum with so much history. And the present Yankee Stadium, so not the old one, but the new one.
Oh, okay. I've been to the old one.
I've been to the new one. I was there.
Best friends.
When I was a student at Virginia Tech, they played in the Pinstripe Bowl. Against Maryland and lost, I think, 56-13. But I went up there and called that for our student outlet, which was cool.
Nice.
To just see Yankee Stadium. We walked through, is it Memorial or whatever
the Memorial Gardens?
Yeah, out in center field, which was pretty cool. Lenny says he has been to all three of those places.
Good job, Lenny. I'm jealous.
He has at least lived up to the question, which took your breath away. Not your favorite stadium, but one that just took your breath away the first time you were in it. Ben is on our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben, what is the stadium that took your breath away the first time you walked into it?
The L.A. Coliseum.
Oh, good one.
That is a good one.
What were you there to see?
It was awesome. The Rose Bowl.
No, the Rose Bowl is at the Rose Bowl. The Coliseum, they're two different things.
I've seen Utah play there 1 year, and it was, I mean, that many people, but the history is incredible.
At the Coliseum or the Rose Bowl?
The Rose Bowl.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
The Rose Bowl, I mean, that's up there for me too.
Thanks, pal. Yeah. I mean, those are two I haven't been to. I'd like Rose Bowl is number one on my bucket list.
Yeah. I think that's up there for me. I haven't been to Wrigley. That's one that I want to get to. I've been to Fenway. So one of the two historic MLB stadiums. But definitely the Rose Bowl, I think, in terms of a college football environment, the history there.
Yeah.
I think that would be a cool one. And, you know, we're going to see playoff games in the Rose Bowl every single year now.
We're good, as we should do that. I don't think walking, like if we show up there at 10 o'clock today and walk to the Rose Bowl, it's like, this is kind of neat.
Yeah.
I think you got to see a game. That's what stood out to me when LSU and Tennessee played. LSU, that was Saban's first year, and they beat Tennessee in overtime. I think you got to be part of the ambiance. And the ambiance of the crowd. I mean, you got to feel everything. You got to be there and experience that for that to take your breath away.
Yeah, we went down to LSU with Vanderbilt 2 years ago, and I got to kind of walk around the stadium, and we saw Mike the Tiger and everything. But I agree, it's not the same.
Yeah.
Just seeing the arena versus walking in and having 100,000 people.
Oh, night and day, man.
Loading it up. Gunner on our text line says Rupp Arena. That's another one that I'm sure there are plenty of Kentucky fans. Connor Newt, if you're listening.
Connor Newt, that's one where if you're, I mean, you grow up, and then you go there and you see all the history in Rupp Arena, you're kind of like, oh my. But again, that's something else. You need to experience a game there.
I got to go there because the women's arena was getting renovated this year. The Kentucky women's team played in Rupp this season.
That's cool.
So we went up there and played there. And, you know, it wasn't completely full, but it was cool to see the history there and you know, be in an arena like that. That is a gigantic college basketball arena.
It is.
It's huge.
It is. The Augusta one, that's a really good one. I didn't think about because I don't follow golf. I don't watch golf. But that is probably, would that be the golf course? I mean, you could do Valhalla, and I know people like that and all that, but I think, to me, that's...
I think Augusta, that's number one.
What do they do? Do they bounce the British Open around?
Yeah, the other three majors move around to different courses, but
yeah,
the Masters is always at Augusta. Yeah. That's the one course that gets a major played at it every single year.
Yeah, okay.
So, I've been told St. Andrews is a masterclass.
That's probably number two, the old course. The Vanderbilt men's and women's golf team got to play out there last year, which that's got to be a cool experience.
Augusta?
The old course in St. Andrews. Yeah. I guess they did a college tournament out there for the first time ever. And it was the exact St. Andrews conditions you'd expect, like raining sideways and 37 degrees. But that's got to be cool. Again, our question of the day is, what is the stadium, arena, it could even be a golf course.
It can be a golf course.
That took your breath away. The sporting venue that took your breath away the first time we saw it. We'll continue to get to your questions or your answers throughout the show. We do have a guest coming up in the next segment, Mount Juliet head football coach Trey Perry. High school football's back, Big Joe, and it's cool. It's a cool feeling that we're getting into football season, and it kind of layers. It's like this week, you got high school, couple college games. Next weekend, you get a full slate of college games and then NFL season, and then we're full go all the way until February.
I love it. And, you know, around the state of Tennessee, I mean, there's going to be hundreds of thousands of people who get out and watch these games tonight. And I hate it when people are like, nobody cares. People care. It drives me. When I worked in TV, nobody cares. People care, right? To have the attitude of, nobody care, that is the worst attitude to have because it's not true. But games tonight all over the state of Tennessee, especially Middle Tennessee, it's just fun, man. And it's funny. I worked with I had a boss one time who hated high school football.
Really? Hated.
She's like, we're not going to do high school football coverage. Da, da, da. And I don't like football. And I said, did you go to games when you're in high school? Well, yeah. I mean, my girlfriend's and I would go and we'd sit. And then the more she kept talking, and I just said, you just did a 180 on yourself. She's like, damn it, I did. I'm like, yeah, you're right. So we all have these memories. Whether you played or not, you have these great memories of Friday night. And another thing, the Titans used to go practice at a high school once during camp. They'd go Friday night out there. It was great. And you'd go talk to the guys, like, hey, tell me about your best moment of high school football Friday night. You couldn't get them to shut up. You couldn't get the guys to shut up. They loved talking about Friday night football. All of them. Couldn't get them to shut up.
It's the purest form of football.
Amen, brother.
It is.
For now.
And I grew up in Northern Virginia, where high school football wasn't as much of a community thing. Like, as a high school student, I would go out and I'd cheer on my friends and cheer on my school. But it wasn't a community thing where everybody kind of rallies around it. It's been cool since moving here to see. I called it was Oakland and Coffee County last year on my TV 30. And
you did that?
I did that. Max Herz was off with the Preds that weekend, so I got asked to fill in. And it was just cool to show up to that stadium and just see the community coming together for that game. So I might be heading out to a game tonight. I'm not 100% sure yet, but I might be heading out to the game at Green Hill. So I might get in on some of this Middle Tennessee high school football.
But you can't tell Coach Perry that, though.
I can't. No. Honestly, it's because I was invited out there to go meet the guy who broadcast their games. So,
wait, who's Green Hill tonight taking on Northeast?
Yes.
From Clarksville.
Yes. And we have Coach Trey Perry coming up, Mount Juliet, taking on Cambridge tonight at 7 p.m. So that'll be a fun one. We're going to talk to Coach Perry coming up next, get his thoughts on the upcoming season and the excitement level for high school football finally being back. Jake Lyman in for Chase McCabe, the Chase and Big Joe Show brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel. Again, Mount Juliet head high school football coach Trey Perry coming up when we come back here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Jake Lyman in for Chase McCabe today. Big Joe Dubin, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier with you. It's high school football season. Officially got underway last night and a full slate of games tonight. And we are thrilled to be joined now on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by Mount Juliet High School's head football coach, Trey Perry. Coach Perry, thanks for taking some time with us this morning. What's the excitement level to finally get going tonight?
Well, it depends on who you ask. If you ask the head coach, it's more relief than it is excitement because with 131 players on our roster, getting those guys into eligibility the correct way, making sure all the forms are filled out and pregame meals ready to go and transportation's on point, just be getting all of those boxes checked off, I would call it more relief than excitement. But we do that so that they can be excited, and I'm sure they are.
Well, Coach, do you like – I know you can't control this. Do you like starting on the road or do you like starting at home?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, there's probably pros and cons to both. I like starting on the road if we can have a road scrimmage. And we got to do that this year with Hendersonville in our first week. So you get a chance to practice it. Creatures of habit, obviously. And so, obviously, starting at home is always big, too. But there's something about going on the road that kind of you concentrate on the things that are right in front of you, and then the kickoff sort of takes care of itself at that point, and you're not so focused on, you know, things that might be distractions at home.
I always love this, Coach. It takes forever for the high school football or for football season to get here, and then it flies by. I had a great coach tell me one time, all you're guaranteed – is 10 games. Anything after that is up to you. And I always loved that, Coach. And it still resonates today as it did 30, 40 years ago, right?
It does. And, I mean, you know, you can even speed that process up a little bit. I'm a glass half full person, but, you know, injuries are out there and they exist. And to the high school athlete, it may not even be 10 games. You know, it's what you are guaranteed is the snap that's right in front of you. And obviously, they're 48-minute games for a reason. There's a lot of cliches that go along with that. But I think football continues to advance. I think high school football continues to speed up as far as tempo goes and the amount of reps that you get in a game. But the one thing that's constant, like you were talking about a second ago, is it's not guaranteed. So, you know, you got to enjoy it when you got it right in front of you.
Talking with Mount Juliet head football coach Trey Perry. Coach, coming off a 9-3 season from last year, what's the outlook for this year? A lot of success a year ago, and how do you think you can build off that?
We're excited. You know, we're still a zone school that we get what we get, but this senior class has played together for a long time. They've stuck together and won a lot of football, and I mean that because they've contributed, you know, to several of our last teams, back-to-back regional championships that we've had success. These guys have had integral parts of it. So as a coach, you know, there's a level of comfort going into a season when you've got so many returning starters because they've been there and done that. Now, the team on the other side could really care less about that when the ball kicks off. So
right.
We still got to go out and prove that. But I'm excited about this group. I think the best thing I could say about them is the senior class and specifically is that they've not just led with what we're doing in practice and on the field, but they've done it with the details and what they've done off the field. And I think that matters. And, one thing we've looked at is this preseason we have not turned the ball over, and we have turned the ball over for the opponent. And I talk about it all the time. I think, you know, it can be contributed to little things just like the way you leave your locker every day or being a selfless person to somebody in the school building, picking up somebody's trash after lunch. I think those things, you know, carry over to what you do on Friday night. So far, so good for the Bears.
Taking on Cane Ridge tonight, played them in the opener last year, and what was a hard-fought win for you guys. What's been the message to your team this week as you prepare for what's going to be another close game?
They call special teams special for a reason. I feel like when you get to our level of football, it's usually the one place that you can make a lot of difference if you've focused on that, which I feel like we have during this off season. So I want to see us go out and dominate that phase because obviously it sets up your offense and defense for your drives. They could be short field drives, long field drives, and we know the percentages on that stuff. But you know, and you say all that stuff and all the data, but at the end of the day, there's still 16, 17, 18-year-old kids, and we've worked our butts off for 9 months, so go out and have fun.
Oh, absolutely. Talking to Mount Juliet head football coach Trey Perry. Coach, what year is this for you as a coach, and what year is this for you as a head coach?
It feels like 100. It's my 22nd year in coaching and my 12th year here at Mount Juliet as a head coach.
Holy cow. Holy! What was the game? I know you're focused on Cambridge. What was the game 2 years ago that we had you on our show? You won 50-45, and you won the last second. What game was that?
That was White County.
Yes.
And they had that unbelievable back and great football team that year, and it was a track meet. I think I aged about 10 years. That's part of my 100 years right there that night.
Well, that leads into the question of being like, you know, every Friday night is special and unique and wonderful, but I don't know how you guys do it. I mean, I just don't know how. I'm looking at your schedule. I mean, you got Gallatin, you got Cookeville, you got Wilson Central, you got Lebanon, you got Green Hill, you got all these rivalries. But I, like you said earlier, you're the half glass looking at everything. How wonderful is this that you get to do this every Friday night with wonderful kids and everything? It's truly a grateful moment that you get to do all this, I would think.
I was blessed enough to be able to play 100 years ago, be able to play 5 years of college football. And obviously it has its pageantry, and it was a great experience for me. It taught me a lot about, you know, I guess – what I do in my philosophy and coaching now, but it never compared to Friday night. Never. You know, but quick shout out here, shameless plug. Congratulations to the Portland Panthers last night on beating White House. That's where I grew up and played my high school football. And, you know, places like that, places like we feel like we've got right now, they're just, they're special. And, you know, you spend 9 or 10 months trying to make sure these kids understand how special these moments are. And so when you get there, you want them just to enjoy it. And like I said earlier, have fun.
Can you still hear that damn train in Portland in your dreams?
Oh, it is embedded.
That's fantastic. Oh, wonderful.
I don't need an alarm clock.
Right. You'll do that. Oh, that's great, Coach. Coach, thank you. I know you're busy. Thank you for this. You know, I think the world of you. Congratulations on all your success at Mount Juliet, and have a great year, Coach. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Right back at you.
Head coach Trey Perry of Mount Juliet, excited for that one tonight against Cambridge. 31-28 last year in Mount Juliet, so expecting a good one over there. And
oh, yeah.
Again, with what Coach Perry said about that senior class and the returners they got, hoping for a big year for them.
You talk about environments. So so Portland plays at the middle school, and literally behind the visitors' sidelines, there's a train track. Train comes through. It seems like 1,000 times during the game, but it will come through once or twice, and it's so loud. And it's fantastic.
That's awesome.
It's a fantastic environment for high school football. I love going up there. That's a huge rivalry between Portland and White House. But to see that and feel that, you know, it's palpable. I mean, you can touch it. You can feel it, man. And it's wonderful. And that's what we'll have tonight across Middle Tennessee.
That's what's awesome. Some of those unique things that just make high school football, high school football.
Yeah.
You know, you don't go to an NFL stadium and hear a train rolling through.
No.
But that's what you get on Friday nights.
That's what, like Dr. Crane with the Father Ryan, you're way younger than I am, but we would play Father Ryan at Vanderbilt. That's where Father Ryan played their games. And it was on the turf. I mean, there's, you know, 5,000 people there. It didn't seem like a lot, but
then following was Greer Stadium and Wright Field.
Greer Stadium was awful.
Yeah, it was rough. I did love the tailgates, though. They were great.
And now you got your own stadium over there and everything. But
they play over Johnny O tonight, actually, at Johnny O. Neighborhood rivalry right there.
Overton's quarterback broke his ankle. He's out for the year.
Oh.
He's supposed to be pretty good, too.
Oh.
Wow.
So, that's like Coach Perry's talking about. I mean, you're guaranteed. Yeah, I mean, you guaranteed the 10 games, obviously, as a schedule as a whole, but you only guaranteed that snap.
Yep, that is true. You never know what's going to happen next.
Good times.
Big thanks to Mount Juliet head football coach Trey Perry for joining us, and good luck to them on their game against Cambridge tonight. Again, high school football getting underway this weekend, an exciting time here in Middle Tennessee. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue to get to your answers to our question of the day, which is, what is the stadium or arena that took your breath away the first time you walked into it? We'll also talk some college football as week zero gets underway tomorrow. We are about 24 hours away from actual college football. It's going to be great. Jake Lyman in for Chase McCabe today. Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. Pre-game at 6:20, first pitch at 6:35, with coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks Family Leisure, Five Points Roofing, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Jake Lyman in for Chase McCabe, Chase and Big Joe show. Big Joe Dubin, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier. Just had a great chat with Mount Juliet head football coach Trey Perry. And Chris Sanders, Forever Titans wide receiver, is coming up at the top of the hour. A couple of answers on our text line to our question of the day, which again is, which stadium or arena took your breath away the first time you walked into it? I love this answer from Rob on our text line. Estadio Azteca in Mexico City. This is the only answer because you honestly can't breathe because of all the pollution. That's what he said.
There was a preseason game in the late 70s between the Eagles and somebody that played there, and it was a bullfighting ring the day before.
Wow.
And they laid lines down. You played on dirt, and because the NFL wanted to expand to Mexico, and because of that game, they put it on hold for years because everything that was promised didn't get happen. A friend of mine, he's a former professional wrestler, WWE, says when he walked into the Boston Garden to wrestle one time.
Wow.
Love you, Reno, brother. He walked into his wrestleway. He found the equipment manager. He said that's where Larry Bird's locker was. He got dressed in that locker that day. I did not go. I would have loved to go on the old Boston Garden. I would have loved to have gone there. Of course, it's been knocked down now, but there was no air conditioning in there when I was
told. Yeah. You know, some of those older stadiums, we talked about Fenway and Wrigley, maybe not the most practical stadiums. Like, there are so many seats in Wrigley and Fenway that are obstructed view. You can't even see the game, but it's just the history of the stadium that makes it so cool.
I went to Wrigley one time, and it was just so many, like, look at us, and the Cubs were terrible. It's like, look at our stadium. I'm like, do you not care about the product on the field? I know the stadium's fine, but then they win the World Series in 16, and everything changes for them. But
that is true. Yeah, for years, that's really all they had was the stadium.
That's it.
So another texter on our text line says Lavelle Edwards Stadium, BYU. And that's all of BYU's stadiums. You can see the mountains in the background, cool scenery. App State's another one like that.
What's that field called at App State? I don't remember. Dr. Crane, you remember what the field's called? Me neither. But BYU,
Phil, I don't know.
Something like that, right?
That's not the name of the stadium.
MTSU played BYU in 2013. We got to go out there to see that, and it was beautiful. I mean, it was absolutely stunning when you're out there and see everything. And that was beautiful. That's in my top five when I first saw that in the stadium, all that it was. But to me, LSU is still number one. A night game at LSU took my breath away.
App State is Kid Brewer Stadium, not the other one that was mistakenly said on Force Company.
You know who's a big App State fan?
Who?
Luke Combs.
Yes. Big. He's an App State graduate. I think he played like a free showdown in Boone last year or something.
Yeah, he
like
was
that.
The guest picker for ESPN when they did all that stuff. Shout out to Luke listening to us over in Charlotte, Tennessee this morning.
I will show my bias a little bit here, being from Virginia Tech. Enter Sandman. That is something that I think everybody has to experience at least once in their life. A night game in Lane Stadium with Enter Sandman.
What was the game during COVID they played?
North Carolina.
And then they panned the stadium, and they're playing Enter Sandman, and it was beautiful.
Yes. Yeah, I've been to a few of the big ones. Back in 2016, Ohio State came to town, and that was right after they won the national championship. So that was JT Barrett and Braxton Miller, and Ohio State won. But the Enter Sandman and the atmosphere through about a quarter and a half of that game was unbelievable.
Oh, I bet. You know what's funny? I don't know why I'm thinking about this, about going into stadiums and teams winning. We had Kenneth Murray, Chase and I did on the show.
Yeah.
And he went to Oklahoma. And I said, were you on that team when they beat Ohio State? When Baker, he's like, yeah. I go, what was that like to take the flag? He's like, Ohio State should have won. If they don't want us to plant the flag. And I'm like, oh, you're my new favorite player. I love that.
If you don't want us to do that, win the game.
Right. So you're talking Ohio State. You know, they go to Ohio State and beat them. And that's the thing. If you don't want – don't you know, and we get this argument all the time, Jake, about in high school, I'm not a fan of running the score up. I'm a fan of getting, if you're up three touchdowns in the fourth quarter, play your freshmen, play your sophomores, whatever.
Yeah.
But in college, I'm going to beat you 100-0. I'm going to throw the ball on up when I'm up 75-0. That's on you if you can't stop me.
It's true.
Right? So if I win, I'm planting that flag in midfield. I'm doing it.
If you don't like it, win the game next time.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a good point.
You know what the ultimate kind of thing would be? Like, if you're, say you're ranked number two basketball and I come and I beat you, cut down the nets.
Oh.
Would that start a brawl?
Yeah, there'd be if the second you brought a ladder out onto the floor, people would be trying to pull you down.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my goodness.
That'd be great.
We will have a fun environment tomorrow. We mentioned Florida State and Georgia Tech out in Dublin, and this is the third or fourth year that they've done this, the kickoff game out there in Ireland. There's been a few fun ones out there. It was Notre Dame Navy either last year or 2 years ago. Northwestern Nebraska was out there. Northwestern, I think that team won two games, maybe one the entire year, but they beat Nebraska that day in Ireland.
Right.
I think that's going to be a really fun game. Florida State's favored by 10, 11, 12 points somewhere in there.
Uh-huh.
Georgia Tech's a good team. And Florida State's got a lot of new pieces that they're going to have to gel. DJ Uiagalelei is the new quarterback, former Clemson and Oregon State guy.
Gosh.
And they've lost Johnny Wilson, Keon Coleman at wide receiver, Jared Verse, Brandon Fisk. All of them are gone. I think that's going to be a closer game than a lot of people are expecting.
I just wish Georgia Tech was running the wishbone. I miss that.
The triple option.
I miss that so much. Yeah. Former Navy guy. But, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And you're right. That's the thing with the coaches now. I mean, like, Middle's got 59 new players.
Wow.
So you have the spring football season. You can't deal with them during the summer until camp starts back to bring this camaraderie together. Florida State, the team with the most, I was told last week, Chip Walters told me this, North Texas has 74 new players on their team. And I'm hearing they say the culture is better. I mean, sometimes you got to get rid of some guys. But 74. So I'm not sure how many Florida State's got, but you got to bring that together, man. It takes sometimes 2 years to bring camaraderie, teamwork, tendencies. I know what you're doing. I know where you're going. I know what Dr. Crane's doing, all that other stuff. So this is a whole new coaching thing for these coaches to figure out, hey, I got to bring these guys together.
Yeah, and you look at DJ Yu, the quarterback. He's been at three schools in 3 years now. So maybe he's used to it at this point, and maybe that helps him. The fact that he went to Oregon State, had to adjust to new receivers, new offensive line, new scheme there, and now comes to Florida State. But I'm not sure it's going to look smooth for Florida State tomorrow.
No.
And who knows if that team is even going to be as good. They're coming off a big letdown last year, not making the college football playoff.
Well, why is everybody hating them? I know they complain about not getting in the Final Four. I get that. And then Georgia, just whipped their butts in the Orange Bowl. But I don't know where all the animosity came towards Florida State. I don't get that. Did I miss something?
Yeah, I don't get it either. It was a cool story last year with that team and going undefeated, and it looked like they were going to get in. I hated it for them just as much as anybody, even though, I'm not a huge Florida State guy in general, but
right.
I felt like they deserved to get in. You win all your games in a power conference, you deserve for a chance to play for a national championship.
You knew no way in hell they were going to get in. And then, Feinbaum comes out and makes them a pariah on Florida State about complaining. Look, that's fine if you complain. I mean, they had a right to complain about that.
It's very different from when UCF claimed a national championship when they were playing in the American. Like, yes. Florida State, was the ACC great last year? No, it wasn't. It was a down year for the ACC. But they still won all their games, and ACC talent is still a step above Group of Five talent.
Right.
Maybe even two steps.
Yeah.
It's not SEC. It's not Big Ten. But it's still power conference football.
Yeah, and I don't still, I get it why Alabama was selected. I understand all that. I do. But with the parameters they set forth with the committee about Florida State, checked off all the boxes.
And I still will say this, that if they were not going to a 12-team playoff, I think the committee puts Florida State in. Because they don't want to set the precedent that an undefeated power conference champion doesn't get in. But guess what? There is no precedent anymore because there's no more 14 playoff.
You're right.
So
one of the greatest things Archie Manning ever did, besides having, the two Hall of Fame Super Bowl quarterback winning sons, he got off that committee. Yeah. Archie Manning was on that committee, and he knew exactly where that was headed, and he got off because people griped about it, and rightfully so. A lot of things went on, but Archie Manning's like, I ain't, and he feigned some illness or whatever to get off. I don't blame him. I would not want to be on that. Look, man, I had to judge the Miss MTSU pageant like 15 years ago, and I got berated in the parking lot. A family went off. I was like, hey, I'm one of nine judges. I don't even remember who it was. I mean, so that's a Miss MTSU pageant, okay?
Yeah.
And I got hell for that. Could you imagine on the national scale? No.
And you hope that with 12 teams getting in, there won't be as much controversy this year, because it's like, if you were the number 13 team in the country, do you think you're going to win a national championship? Probably not.
Right.
But I'm sure there still will be some outrage when number 12 Penn State gets in over number 13 Oklahoma or whatever it is this year.
Oh, yeah.
And there will be teams feeling like they got gypped out of a chance to compete for a national championship, even though 12 seed is going on the road to face the 5 seed, which is probably the second best SEC team. You are going to lose that game nine times out of 10.
And then my greatest fear, and I hate the 12 team. I'm going to tell you, I hate the 12 team, because that means, like, well, it's okay if you lose on a Saturday. You can, you know, every game, you should. That's what makes college football unique. Win every game. And sometimes you don't win every game. You need help along the way. Another team is knocked. That's what made it fun. But my fear, Jake, is they go to 16. It's going
to
happen.
They've already said they're going to 14, right? Like, they,
before
the 12 team has even been played, they've said they're going to 14.
And I think it just rewards mediocrity, and I hate it. And so here's another thing, and I know we got Chris Sanders coming up. If I win the SEC, if I'm George, I win the SEC.
Yeah.
Do I want an extra game before I head to the playoffs? I don't.
It is much better to not make your conference championship game than it is to lose your conference championship game.
Right.
Because if you win the SEC, you get a bye, which, fine, you get an extra week on the other end of it. But I would much rather be the third best team in the SEC and make the playoff at large than go lose to Georgia or Texas in the SEC championship game, and then you have to turn around and go play another game in the first round of the playoff.
Yeah. So if you're Georgia and you finished number one, Alabama's number two, you got to play again.
Yeah.
You know, in the SEC championship game, the FCS doesn't do that.
No.
They just award a conference championship, a conference winner without playing the championship game and going on. As greedy as Greg Sankey is, does he want to give up that conference championship game?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I think maybe that's one of the adjustments that we'll see as we get into this 12-team playoff era. But going to be a fun year.
Indeed.
But we'll have to see how all of this sorts itself out.
Yes, indeedy.
It does make a lot more teams feel like they have a chance, though, which I guess is the point of it. More fan bases are more invested.
Let's reward mediocrity. Come on in. I know you're not good, but come on in. We don't hurt your feelings.
615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to chime in. Our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. When we come back, Forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders is going to join us here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 1025-1063 The Game.